Welcome, dear listener, to a baffling tale that whispers through the veils of time where coincidence seems almost impossible. Imagine two young women separated by over a century and a half, their lives echoing one another in ways that defy explanation. Both 20 years old, both from the same quiet corner of England, both vanishing after a night out on the town on the very same date in May. Their bodies discovered in the same shadowy park. Both victims of violent crimes. Both of the men accused shared not just suspicion, but also the same last name. Is this just a wild coincidence or something more? Tonight, we unravel the eerie coincidental murders of Mary Ashford and Barbara Forrest, a story so baffling it lingers like a dream you can't quite shake. Welcome to True Crime Sleep Stories, the podcast that blends the intrigue of real mysteries with the gentle rhythm of bedtime tales. I'm your host, Kelly Brink, and I'm here to guide you through shadowed histories that soothe the mind even as they stir the soul. If you're new to our cozy corner of the night, we invite you to subscribe wherever you listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite app, so you never miss a whisper of our weekly episodes. And if these stories help you drift into peaceful slumber, consider leaving a 5-star review. Tonight, settle in under your blankets, dim the lights, and let the soft cadence of this true tale carry you away. Now, breathe deeply, relax, and let's begin. Our journey starts in the rolling green hills of Erdington, a suburb of Birmingham in the heart of England. It's the early 19th century, a time when the world moved to the rhythm of horse-drawn carriages and flickering candlelight. The year is 1817, and the air is alive with the promise of spring. Flowers bloom along the hedgerows, birds sing their evening songs, and the gentle breeze carries the scent of fresh earth and budding leaves. In this serene landscape lives Mary Ashford, a young woman of 20, with eyes as bright as the morning dew and a spirit full of quiet joy. Mary works as a housemaid on a local farm, her days filled with the simple tasks of tending to the household, polishing silver, baking bread, and mending linens under the watchful eye of her employers. She lives with her uncle and aunt in a modest cottage, where the fire crackles warmly in the hearth and stories are shared over cups of herbal tea. Mary is known for her kindness, her laughter that echoes like a soft melody through the village. She's practical too, saving her wages diligently for a future she dreams of, perhaps a small home of her own, or a life beyond the farm's boundaries. But on this particular evening, May 26, 1817, the world feels full of possibility. It's Whitsun Monday, a holiday marking the descent of the Holy Spirit, and the villagers are gathering for celebrations. The air hums with excitement as people don their finest clothes, women in flowing dresses of cotton and lace, men in sturdy waistcoats and breeches. Mary, ever the picture of modest elegance, chooses a white gown adorned with subtle ribbons, her dark hair pinned neatly with a few wildflowers tucked in for whimsy. She sets out with her friend Hannah Cox, walking arm in arm along the dusty paths toward the Tyburn House, a lively public house on the outskirts of Birmingham. The sun dips low, painting the sky in hues of soft orange and pink, as if the heavens themselves are joining the festivities. The Tyburn House is a bustling spot, its wooden beams creaking under the weight of merry patrons. Inside, the room is alive with the twang of fiddles and the stomp of dancing feet. Ale flows freely, laughter rings out, and the scent of roasted meats mingles with pipe smoke. Mary and Hannah immerse themselves in the joy, swirling through country dances, their cheeks flushed with exertion and delight. It's here that Mary meets Abraham Thornton, a local bricklayer in his mid-20s, sturdy and broad-shouldered from years of labor. Thornton is the son of a farmer, known around Erdington for his strength and his occasional rough edges, but on this night, he seems charming enough. He asks Mary to dance, and she accepts, their steps sinking in the whirl of the crowd. As the evening wears on, the two chat amiably about the weather, the harvest, the simple pleasures of village life. Around midnight, as the music begins to fade and patrons trickle out into the cool night, Mary and Thornton decide to leave together. Hannah watches them go, assuming it's just a harmless stroll under the stars. But as the clock ticks past the witching hour, something shifts in the tranquil night. Mary and Thornton wander the paths, perhaps sharing a quiet conversation or simply enjoying the peace. They part ways amicably, or so it seems. Thornton heads toward his home and Mary toward hers. Yet, in the hours that follow, a shadow falls over Erdington. The next morning, May 27th, dawns with a gentle mist rolling over the fields. Mary's uncle and aunt grow concerned when she doesn't return. Whispers spread through the village like ripples on a pond. Search parties form, lanterns bobbing in the early light as neighbors call her name. It's a local man who stumbles upon the horror. In Pipe Haze Park, a verdant expanse of grass and trees where children play and lovers stroll, lies a water-filled pit, a remnant of old clay diggings, now overgrown with reeds and wild grasses. There, floating in the murky depths, is Mary's body. Her white dress is stained with mud and blood, her face pale and still. The villagers pull her from the water, their hearts heavy with grief. Examination reveals the unthinkable. Mary has been assaulted, her body bearing marks of violence, and she has drowned in the shallow pit, perhaps struggling in vain against her attacker. The news spreads like wildfire through Birmingham and beyond. Suspicion falls immediately on Abraham Thornton, the last person seen with her. He's arrested swiftly, his alibi of parting ways and returning home scrutinized under the harsh light of inquiry. The trial that follows is a spectacle, drawing crowds to the courtroom in Warwick. Thornton's defense argues innocence, pointing to witnesses who saw him elsewhere and the lack of direct evidence. In a twist of archaic law, Thornton invokes an ancient rite, the wager of battle, demanding to prove his innocence through combat with Mary's brother. But the courts, evolving with the times, dismiss this medieval plea. Ultimately, Thornton is acquitted, the jury finding reasonable doubt in the web of testimonies. He walks free, but the stain of suspicion clings to him like fog on the moors. Mary is laid to rest in a quiet churchyard, her grave marked by a simple stone as the village mourns and wonders if justice has slipped away. Now let your eyelids grow heavy as we drift forward through time. The world changes. Horses give way to automobiles, candles to electric lights, and the quiet villages swell into bustling suburbs. It's now 1974, and Erdington has transformed, yet retains its green heart in places like Pipe Haze Park, where trees sway gently and paths wind through the grass as they did centuries ago. Enter Barbara Forrest, another 20-year-old with a life full of promise. Barbara works as a nurse at a children's home in nearby Birmingham, her days spent caring for little ones with tender hands and a warm smile. She's compassionate, her laughter a balm to those around her, and she dreams of travel, of seeing the world beyond England's shores. Barbara lives modestly, sharing moments with friends and family in a time of flared jeans, disco beats, and the hum of modern life. On May 26, 1974, Bank Holiday Monday, echoing the Whitsun celebrations of old, she decides to embrace the evening's festivities. The air is mild, carrying the scent of blooming lilacs and distant rain. Barbara dresses in a stylish outfit, a blouse with flowing sleeves and a skirt that sways with her steps, and heads out with friends to a local club in Birmingham. The venue pulses with music, lights flashing in rhythm to the tunes of the era. Perhaps ABBA or the Bee Gees filling the air. She dances, laughs, and enjoys the company of her boyfriend, Michael Thornton, a man in his 20s with a steady job and a quiet demeanor. As the night deepens, around midnight, Barbara and Michael part ways amicably after a minor disagreement. Nothing serious, just the ebb and flow of young romance. She catches a bus home, or so it's believed, vanishing into the night's embrace. But come morning, May 27th, anxiety creeps in. Barbara doesn't arrive at work, her absence a jarring note in the routine. Friends and family search, their worry mounting like storm clouds. Days pass, four agonizing ones, before the unthinkable unfolds. In Pipe Hayes Park, that same verdant haven turned sinister. A groundskeeper discovers something hidden in the long grass behind a hedge. It's Barbara's body, concealed amid the foliage. Her life stolen by strangulation after an assault. The parallels crash like waves. The same park, the same date, the same age, the same horror. Suspicion turns to Michael Thornton, the last to see her alive. He's questioned intensely, his movements dissected by detectives in polyester suits and with notepads in hand. Alibis are checked, witnesses place him elsewhere, and evidence falls short. Like his namesake from the past, Michael is arrested but ultimately acquitted, the courtroom echoing with the same frustrations of insufficient proof. The investigation stalls, leads dry up like autumn leaves, and Barbara's case joins Mary's in the annals of unsolved mysteries. The coincidences bind them in a way that seems totally surreal, like a glitch in the Matrix. Both women, 20 years old and vibrant, hailing from Erdington, both out dancing on May 26th during holiday merriment, parting from companions with the last name Thornton around midnight. Both found murdered on May 27th in Pipe Hayes Park, Mary in a pit, Barbara in the grass nearby. Both assaulted. Both cases leaving prime suspects acquitted. And the premonitions? Mary confiding bad feelings to her friend. Barbara telling a co-worker, "This is going to be my unlucky month. I just have that feeling." No familial ties link the Thorntons, no evidence of a copycat killer aware of the old tale. Historians and criminologists have pored over records, seeking connections, a shared ancestor, a local legend, a curse whispered in the wind. Yet nothing emerges but the stark improbability. Picture the park, now, as you sink deeper into your pillow. The trees rustle softly, leaves whispering secrets to the night. In 1817, it was a wilder place. Pits from clay, mining, dotting the landscape like forgotten wounds. By 1974, it's tamed. Paths paved, benches for rest, yet the shadows linger in the corners where sunlight fears to tread. Investigators in both eras combed the grounds. Constables with lanterns in the 19th century, police with flashlights and forensics in the 20th. Footprints in the mud for Mary, tire tracks and fibers for Barbara, clues that teased but never told the full truth of what happened. The trials themselves were theaters of tension. For Mary, the courtroom in Warwick buzzed with onlookers, newspapers printing sensational accounts. Thornton's wager of battle, a relic from medieval times where guilt was settled by combat, shocked the public, leading to its abolition shortly after. For Barbara, the inquest in modern Birmingham involved pathologists and psychologists, yet ended in the same limbo. Families grieved, Mary's brother fighting for justice, Barbara's loved ones holding vigils. The media frenzy varied, broadsheets for one, tabloids for the other, but the questions persisted. Was it fate? A glitch in time? Or human darkness repeating itself? Delve deeper, and local lore emerges. Erdington, with its ancient roots, holds tales of ghosts and omens. Some say the park is haunted by restless spirits, echoes of old quarrels. Others point to probability, statisticians calculating the odds, deeming it astronomical yet possible in an infinite world. Books like The Erdington Murders by Des Hickey and Gus Smith chronicle the saga, weaving facts with wonder. Psychics have claimed visions. Sleuths proposed theories. A serial killer's lineage, a hidden society, or sheer cosmic alignment. Mary's family continued farming, her memory fading into folklore. Barbara's colleagues at the children's home planted a garden in her honor, flowers blooming each May as a quiet tribute. The Thorntons? Abraham emigrated to America seeking escape from whispers. Michael faded from public view, the name a burden. No connections between them. Genealogists confirm separate lines, yet their last name tolls like a bell. In the quiet hours, theories swirl gently. Could it be reincarnation, souls reliving trauma, or synchronicity, as Jung might say, meaningful coincidences defying cause? Modern forensics, if applied to Mary's case today, might yield DNA from preserved evidence, but time has eroded such hopes. For Barbara, cold case units occasionally revisit, hoping for breakthroughs in technology. The story of Mary and Barbara isn't just murder, it's a meditation on mystery, on how history rhymes in unexpected ways. In Erdington today, the park stands peaceful, joggers and dog walkers unaware of the echoes. Statues or plaques? Well, there are none, but the tale lives on in podcasts like this, in books, and in the collective shiver of those who know the story. The eerie coincidental murders of Mary Ashford and Barbara Forrest remain unsolved, a puzzle wrapped in enigma. Perhaps one day, a new clue will surface, bringing closure to the whispers of the past. Until then, they remind us of life's fragility and the strange threads that connect us all. Thank you for joining me for this episode of True Crime Sleep Stories. If this episode helped you unwind or sparked your curiosity, please subscribe, rate, and review. We love hearing from you. Share with a friend who needs a soothing mystery and tune in next week for another gentle dive into the shadows. Sweet dreams, dear listener. May your sleep be deep and undisturbed. Good night.